Huh?
Is the tournament just replacing the season?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else
this
after
is
that?
The season. This is it, as far as I know.
Yeah. Well, because it said, like, it would go towards, like, it would count towards season standings or something like that. And I'm very confused.
I don't know. I mean, I was under the impression that this was it. We can look it up, but...
Yeah, that's what I thought, but then I saw something, and I was like, oh, well, maybe it's not. Like, maybe they're doing this, and then once this is done, they'll be like, all right, do we want to continue the season or not?
No, because this decides like their they said a CONCACAF Champions League place, but I guess we get multiple of those. So I guess they're not committed to that. I was under the impression. Well, now I think I'm wrong. All right, we'll figure it out. Can't find anything on whether or not this is the end of the season.
All right.
So
let's talk about Nashville SC.
All right, let's talk about Nashville SC. We actually have news about the beloved Boys in Gold.
We're coming live from
to talk about. We're coming in hot. We're coming to you live from the Batcave. I don't know what this apartment is yet. We'll figure out a name for it. Don, the fuck is up, dude?
Not much, man.
I'm gonna start to edit the way that you say that each time because I don't want to hear that tone anymore.
Okay.
God, what to talk about first? We have no Nashville SC news, very little MLS news for like literally months, and then in the last 48 hours, a couple of things. Most importantly, the MLS is back tournament, which means that MLS is back. You can get it right there from the name of it. How convenient is that?
We were going to record yesterday, but
I don't even have to think about if MLS is back or not as I'm watching the MLS tournament because they're telling me MLS is back.
Yeah. Like, God.
Thank you. I wonder
how many names did they...
Thank
like,
you, Don.
How many names did they turn down before they came up with, like, just MLS is back?
So good.
Yeah, we were going to record yesterday, but then I have sources now in the MLS that was telling me to...
We're well sourced.
Yeah.
We got several men.
I got some sources. They hit me in the DMs, said, wait to record. We got some news dropping. And
we got a little buddy in the group DM. His name, I'm not going to tell you, but it rhymes with She and Cher. And he's telling us everything that's going on behind the scenes. Do you want a drink or anything?
I have water.
So we had the draw. Hold on, let me try that again. So we had the draw. Today, I forgot it was happening. Is it, 3 p.m.? So I didn't watch it live. I didn't look at it until I finished work and I was working from home.
Yeah, a lot of it, I think, got, like, leaked beforehand. But, 3:30.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's basically... So, my understanding...
It wasn't a live draw? How could
it was, but some of it got leaked beforehand. Oh.
How can both things be true?
I think Orlando, because they're hosting, got leaked, who they were playing.
That's not leaked. They said that they would be... It was determined they would be they would get a number one seed.
Yeah.
And someone else did,
Well, I think they got leaked that they were playing... Inter Miami
for being the host. Yeah. Oh, okay,
and that was the only one that I saw before.
But how could it? Did you watch it?
I saw it afterwards. But I saw that like 2 hours before the draw.
They rigged it, dude. Cold balls. Isn't that how they rigged the NBA lottery?
Yep. So my understanding is this:
cold balls
basically
fuck up a lot of shit in your life.
My understanding is this: this is basically like World Cup, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's six groups. It's exactly like most international tournaments, or like the biggest ones anyway, is Euro, the World Cup. There's not in the number of groups, but there's a group stage which two or three or whatever number of teams get out of the group stage with the same 3 points for women, point for a draw that you're used to from domestic leagues and just the game. But so in this one, we're in the only six team group.
Yeah.
Just to make the numbers square up. And we are playing the quote unquote hosts. I guess fans won't be there, so I don't think they get any benefit from that. But Orlando City, Philadelphia Union, and Chicago Fire.
Yeah. I kind of like the odds on that.
Yeah, I like that too. And I mean, none of those teams are scary to me.
No.
There's probably things about the Union and the Fire that I don't know. Maybe they're projected to be good this year. Or God knows I wasn't going to do any research to look into it. But
yeah, no.
Then Orlando City I kind of know about, and they're, I don't know. They got like they have Nani, who I guess was an MLS All-Star. I haven't seen him play for them yet, but He has got to be old as shit.
Yeah, I saw the... I'm trying to pull up all the groups, but I thought it was one of the better ones.
It seemed like it to me, too. That was my first thought.
Group B looked kind of good. Cincinnati, New York Red Bulls, Columbus.
Something that we knew before the draw of the tournament. I guess they had to let us know before the draw of the tournament. We're in the East now, baby. We're the Beast of the East.
Yeah.
Which we, I think, I don't know if we officially knew, but everybody kind of had a feeling, right, would be happening eventually.
Yeah. My understanding was it was going to be next year, but then I also maybe heard that it was like 2 years in the West. But I think we're probably here for good.
I wonder if expansion plans have sped up.
I don't know. Our whole West lasted two games.
Good riddance. Yeah. It never made sense. We were talking about that on E1.
Yeah.
What are you most excited to see from Nashville? I guess aside from just seeing them play again.
Yeah, I think that's
for
it.
A third time ever. This
see
team has constituted
more,
currently.
See a score more than one goal.
Yeah.
I'm interested if the next
goal scorer is that.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see if this, like, who this new guy, like, he's a DP, so he's got to have some potential more than, like, Baji or who we have now.
So we're mixing up all the news stories, but yeah. Whatever. Oh, yeah. So we've been linked. I guess Ben Wright was the one that broke it. So shouts out to Ben.
Yeah.
We have been linked with Maxi Romero. He's 19, correct? He's been on the books at PSV. In the Dutch Eredivisie. So I'm not going to bullshit like I've seen him play and know anything about him, but if you play as much like FIFA career mode and then now recently football managers, I have like the young players with potential are always sort of chattering around in your brain. So if you had said like Maxi Romero, 19 striker PSV, I would have probably been like, yeah, maybe from like FIFA 19 last year or something like that. But I guess that he... started out an Argentinian club, I think Vélez Sarsfield. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Got signed to PSV and then had kind of an iffy year and was loaned back to Vélez Sarsfield for the season that was. Is Argentina, is their league, was it over?
No idea.
Okay, well, whatever. So he most recently played back in Argentina for Vélez Sarsfield and I watched his highlights, the same highlight video that everyone else probably watched. And you know, those are never going to tell you much about a player, but
they're highlights.
In general, my thought was this feels, even without watching the video, I would have said, okay, feels like the type of signings that I know I wanted to see. I think you kind of did too. Although now you just want to see Sturridge for some reason, but younger, South American talent that's undervalued that
that'll
either evolve into Joseph Martinez. Yeah. Well, it smacks of Joseph Martinez specifically because it's kind of the same thing. I think Joseph Martinez was like 23 or older. I guess that's significantly older, 4 years. So maybe we need to check our expectations from that too. Martinez was probably peak and just wasn't making it work in Torino, which is in a bigger league than PSV in the Dutch league, but probably a similar like mid-tier like occasionally in the Europa League type of side from Europe, probably a fairly similar level. It wasn't kind of working for them, and there was an initial loan to buy for Martinez, and that is, I think, what's reported to be the case potentially with...
Yeah, so Ben said it was loan to buy, so...
With Maxi Romero, yeah. So, I mean, if you can't get history to repeat itself, if you could get it to rhyme well enough to where if we had... anything close to the success that they had with the Martinez signing, then that's exciting. But I guess we don't know if it's going to happen or not. It's just the first semi-concrete rumor that we've had, which makes it believable to me because there's not a ton of dumb rumors flying around out of Nashville. It doesn't seem like the type of club it is right now.
Yeah. I mean, I trust Ben. So I feel like usually if he reports something, it's pretty close to being done. It feels like. I think I would have probably rather have Sturridge. Not only... because I'm a fan, but our reputation of our future podcast that we did.
Yeah.
Now we're kind of...
Well, you know the butterfly effect, dude. Like, something can happen.
Yeah,
and
once we say
like,
something.
Like, those guys didn't lie. That was the future that they were experiencing. But all around us, based on whatever decisions we're making, a million futures are possible. Right. So you might have, like, stepped on a bug or something that caused us to not make the Sturridge.
That's probably it, yeah.
Signing, you know?
I was also slightly hoping for Balotelli, because, like that morning... So, like, that morning it got, like, reported that, like, his contract was terminated or whatever. And then my sources hit me in the DMs, was like, wait for this. And I was like, shit.
Yeah.
It's like lining up perfectly. But then I was like, because Ian Ayre, he did sign Balotelli.
For Liverpool.
For Liverpool.
Spectacular failure.
But then I was
like most of Balotelli's moves, we have to admit, because I would love that so much.
Yeah.
But we have to admit that all of his recent moves the last 5 years have not.
In his defense,
seemed like they were successful.
Italy's very racist, and that seems to be causing an issue with him. I don't know if it's his play necessarily. He just hates being there.
I think he was not tearing it up in France before that either, where he was for a couple of years.
Right.
But I remember seeing reports or seeing highlights, and you'd be like, damn, like that's vintage Balotelli. I was watching Pirlo highlights the other night. So Balotelli was on the other end of them for some of the Italy teams that I thought were super fun to watch when Pirlo was still around, I guess.
Yeah.
It's Euro 16, something like that. And man, he one of those Euros, he was incredible. Yeah. I think Italy got to the final.
It's also MLS. So he had
everything you'd want in a striker, really.
It's MLS, so let's not like compare to Italy's first.
He's an interesting guy, so he's not like a fucking boring, like, wet towel, like a lot of pro athletes,
really
a lot of soccer players. It's not like Harry Kane that's like, going to give you, like, oh, the gaffer just hardest going playing, and you got to give your all when the gaffer and the lads in training, blah, blah, blah. Like, he'll actually, you know, he was shooting, like, bottle rockets at, like, youth academy.
Face.
Like, he's funny, and, like, he has a personality.
Yeah.
And so that makes me think that would be someone who would be like, I'll give America a shot. I'd give Nashville, Tennessee a shot.
Then I did some research, and I don't think him and Ian got off on their right foot.
Yeah.
Because it's just,
what'd you
like,
read?
All the articles are just like Ian trashing him about like social media posts and saying like, and granted, this was like 2016. So probably like, I'm sure like Ian's on Twitter now. So I'm sure he's like, that was back like when boomers were like, what's this Facebook? What's this Twitter people are doing?
Yeah.
Like he's probably, his opinion's probably changed on social media now. So. But yeah, it was just like saying basically Balotelli should not be on social media or players in general. And I'm sure that didn't rub.
Yeah, that doesn't hold up well, especially.
Yeah.
It didn't hold up well immediately after he said it.
It still would have been cool, though.
But especially right now.
But if you're listening, Balotelli, please come.
You got to quit fiddling with the mic, please. Every week is a new chance, is a new day where you could not fiddle with the mic for once.
I don't think people hear it.
For 5 minutes. I don't care if people hear it. I have to hear it. Just try. Will you try for me, please?
Okay.
My last question on the tournament, and we can continue to talk about Maxi Romero and DP strikers if you want to talk all day.
We can talk about that.
Feels great to talk about. It's exciting to actually talk about like things that will affect the team eventually. We thought we were done having to do that before the season started, but, you know, c'est la vie.
We were really stretching out those movie reviews. We only got two in.
I'm excited for, well, today's, it's good that we've got other news to talk about because I don't have too much to talk about with today's edition of Paradise Pod Goes to the Movies, episode 3. Because it was just a good movie, I thought. It was just a good children's movie.
I have some stuff to say.
Donald's got thoughts. Good. Excuse me. My last question on the tournament, though, was who has the broadcast rights? How's that going to work?
They announced that. Oh, for this tournament, they announced it, and I don't remember what it is. There's going to be a mixture of, like, three different, like, ESPN.
I'm assuming ESPN. I mean, I think ESPN Plus had every non-televised MLS game.
Yeah, they said
last year.
Every game's going to be televised.
Which makes me think we're going to have every game. Yeah, and they're playing a couple of games every day. It's a really abbreviated schedule. It's, I think the champion and the runner-up would have played 7 matches total. So that's the most you're going to play. They're cramming that into, I can't remember how many weeks of a period.
When's it start?
I don't know. I closed out the article. July 8th. It's back July 8th.
Okay.
So we'll have plenty of time to like break down more like the people in our group. Wait a minute. We're in 16 group A. Oh, and then the three teams that we're going to play. So I don't know what the other two teams are. I guess that could factor in, though, if they were able to accrue more points than us.
In the group? It's Inter Miami's one.
Okay.
And
I had Orlando City, Philadelphia Union, Chicago Fire, because that's who we play.
And New York City FC.
Okay. That's an aesthetically pleasing group of clubs. Contrasting colors, it's important.
Inter Miami and New York City FC look good together.
That'll be sweet. Yeah, a little baby blue versus some pink. That'll be fucking dope. All right, well, MLS is back. We know. If you didn't know, when you saw the name of the tournament,
it's back.
You knew. Now you know. Do you want to talk about Maxi Romero anymore?
No, I mean, I didn't really watch his highlights.
From his highlights, he's I saw Jose Martinez is like 5'7", 5'8". He's not very tall. So Romero's slightly taller, but other than that, they seem kind of the same, like speedy kind of poachers. Like most of his finishes were like, you know, it wasn't anything crazy. Screamers. Yeah. Like,
I saw like three.
Which I'm, you know, striker, who cares? They all count.
I saw like three goals and I was like, okay, these are just going to be highlights.
He looks athletic.
Yeah.
Looks fast.
He's got a sweet name though.
Max Romero's a dope name. He's got a dumb haircut, which means he's probably good.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, that just sounds a lot better. Like striker, Maxi Romero. It's got a good ring. I like it.
It does. What would that mean for Daniel Rios? It's another, I mean, a DP striker is going to get.
Who's our strikers? Minutes. Baggi, Rios.
So there's four.
Yeah.
Baggi, Donlady.
Donlady's the other one. But he can play somewhere else, Donlady.
That was my thought. Yeah. Is if he's a more of a winger.
No.
Then it's three strikers. Unless you just don't see clubs that have like four strikers that could be first choice these days because people run one striker systems.
Yeah. I think this probably hurts Baggi more than Rios.
Maybe.
Rios is still young.
Yeah.
Like
not horribly young. I think he's 23 or 24.
I'll look it up. But I still think that they like believe Rios will be a good striker.
Yeah. I think they have every reason to think that. I do too.
And the one game that we saw, I thought he did better than Baggi.
Yeah.
Like he seemed more like just a pure striker.
Yeah, I think Ben mentioned this in his article. I think we all had it in our minds going into what we thought would be the third game week against Toronto. It seemed like Rios was set to potentially start.
He's 25.
He's 25. Okay. Yeah. So not everyone develops the same. We saw him produce at USL. We've seen other guys produce at USL and do it in MLS, but it's not a guarantee. He was like a youth international for Mexico, mm-hmm. which is a high level. It would be like being a youth international probably for the US, probably a little bit better than us.
I still like Rios.
I
think it's probably going to hurt Baggi more because I still feel like...
I think Baggi lost his chance. He started both games.
I know, but if this guy's better, he's probably going to start, and I think Rios is still probably off the bench.
That was my worry, though, is what if Rios is three?
Yeah. I don't know. I still like... Usually, if they're probably subbing on a striker, they probably want a pure striker, which Rios is that guy.
Yeah. Like a bigger guy to like kind of scrap a little bit more, like be more physical.
Than just a pure goal scorer. Like that's what he does is just score goals. He don't really do anything else, whereas Baggi seems to do a little bit more. And
Romero seems like he might be a little bit of that guy too.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying though, is if you're subbing on a striker, you're usually down and you need a goal, which means you're probably putting on the pure goal scorer.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I hear you. So well, we shall like see. Maybe we'll get linked to some more people, and you know, we're just sort of.
Yeah, maybe Daniel Surge is gonna.
We don't get a lot of transfer rumors, which I guess we should probably be thankful for.
Curious how they're gonna do the summer transfer stuff.
I don't know. If there's a summer transfer window or what? The MLS is back tournament. MLS is back. I'm curious what it does to people's transfer philosophies, especially Nashville, because. It seemed like it would make us less likely to spend.
Yeah, this kind of sucks, though, if you don't make it out of the group stage. You just play three games, and from what you're saying, is your season's done at that point.
Yeah, you could see your team play seven games, or you could just see them play three, which would be really depressing. And probably, in all likelihood, that's what we're most likely to see with Nashville.
Yeah, and that's what sucks, is like we came in here like first season MLS, and we're going to get a total of five games.
I didn't even think about it like that. Damn.
Yeah.
So on brand of you to bring it back down, but you're totally spot on that, you know? That does kind of dampen the excitement again. We thought we were going to get how many regular season games?
I mean, you 32? Were looking at like going to the LA, both LA games.
We're talking about maybe going to Los Angeles. Yeah, seeing both those games.
Yeah.
And now it's very likely that we'll get five.
Sucks, man.
It does suck.
Wah, wah, wah. Can you add that effect in?
Yeah, I can add that effect in. Yeah. Don't get greedy, though. Don't start asking for too many effects and things, but I'll add that one in for you. We'll probably break down the group a little bit more at some point, talk more about what we expect to see from Nashville, but
yeah, we still need stuff for the other podcast, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we still got a little ways to go before tournament plays, but we'll have the rest of our European leagues back when we record next. Is the Premier League starting this weekend?
Premier starts next week.
Next week, but next Wednesday is the Italy first game. And Spain start this weekend, I believe. Yeah. But yeah, there's no way to really watch them, which sucks, because I had the thought, like, God, imagine watching Lionel Messi play right now. It would feel so good. I might have to
get on stream. TV?
No, La Liga, you can't really get it.
Oh, yeah.
La it Liga. Sucks. Fubo TV is the best streaming service for
soccer,
but they don't have ESPN. So it's like it's useless to you outside of soccer.
I mean, I could just send you some illegal streams.
Yeah. But it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably an old-fashioned view to have at this point, but probably. I just prefer to be able to watch it on a television channel.
I don't care. Premier League's back. I'm excited. I'm very excited for Premier League right now. Things are looking up for my boys in blue.
I don't want to turn this into fucking pseudo Chelsea podcast. You were telling me last week that hulking 6'5" center back Billy Gilmore was the future
Look, of the club. Okay.
So I don't
my
know.
Bad. I was talking about Reece James and I couldn't remember.
Mm. Now he was talking about an actual defender.
Yeah.
Anything else we should talk about before we dive into this week's film?
I got nothing.
Well, let's do it. This is Paradise Pod Goes to the Movie. Tre. Air Bud, World Pup, directed by Bill Bannerman, coming to you from Y2K, the year 2000. This was the third installment of the Air Bud series. I don't think we were really inhibited from not having watched the first two. I don't remember them. I don't know if you do.
I watched the first one.
The main character, I guess, outside from Buddy, Josh, strong name, he looks like the Star Trek guy. I was like, holy shit, that's Captain Kirk from the new Star Trek.
Chris Pine?
Yeah.
They don't look anything like each other.
You don't think so?
No.
He looks, fuck. Chris, is it Chris Pine? He looks like one of those guys.
One of the Chris's?
Yeah, he looks like a Chris.
I don't see it, but.
Maybe.
He looks like every 2000, like 90s Boy Meets World type guy.
They had good haircuts. Dyer did that haircut for Spurs not too long ago. It was sick. I would do it if I was cool enough. No matter what we do for the next movie, I don't want to do any more children's movies. I don't know if there are adult sports movies, really. I guess they're all kind of intended for like family audiences, but like, I don't know. That said, this for me was the best movie that we've watched. So better than Ladybugs. And better than Bend It Like Beckham, whom a lot of people on the internet seem to like.
So this, to me, was like so... It got so bad, it was good. And I think it was probably because I was looking at it from like a like directing standpoint. And I was like, why? Like, they're doing the dumbest thing.
Really?
And I realize it's for children. Like, even like the way like the like... And we'll get into it. But even the way like that butler guy that like stole the pups, how he was like sneaking around, like walking, like just... dumb. And I was like it just everything nothing made sense.
All right, well, I sort of disagree with you here, so this will be good for us to get into our differences going through this. So
nothing made sense in this movie.
I feel the opposite. There were things that made sense, like from a storytelling standpoint. We'll get into it. We'll argue with each other. So the movie starts with a wedding. Josh, the teenager, his mother, Jackie, is getting married to her veterinarian boyfriend. And he, you know, they get married. Buddy goes and like snatches the wedding ring from the house because the son forgot it. Stupid. And when they get home, the dad says, "Who wants to help me carry mom across the threshold?" Which I thought was pretty weird. But the dad ends up being...
What did that mean? I didn't get that.
Well, I don't know. Like, carrying somebody across the threshold is like when you get married, like you run them through the door, but then it's also a euphemism, I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's why I couldn't remember. I didn't know if that was like a sex joke or if that was like a wedding thing.
Yeah, but he's like, "Who wants to help me carry mom across the threshold?" I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm a pervert.
But then again, weird. This is, again, from like just a very dumb... The little girl's carrying all those wedding presents, and she's just like walking funny, like swinging the presents, like she's about to fall over. I'm like, "You're obviously intentionally doing that." Like the boxes were like taped together so they wouldn't fall.
It was not a good stunt for you.
No,
that didn't really bother me. So, anyways, the stepdad ends up being very cool to his new family. He's trying to like be there for like the son, like not in an overbearing way, but like. He gives him like a pocket knife. He's like, this is my dad's pocket knife. I want you to have it. He doesn't try to go on a long thing of just like, you know, I know I'm not your dad, but I really want to be there for you. He just kind of does it. And you can just tell from it, which I thought was a sign of good movie making, that it didn't have to be explicitly said. Any other movie, they would have been like, "I don't want to be your dad, blah, blah, blah," and explained it. It's just like, okay, it's understood. Like the guy is just trying to sort of be something of a father figure to his new stepson.
Sure.
We see the dog catchers, which will prove to be the clear antagonists of the film, which you make fun of some of the stunts they get up to. But again, the other two movies, it's never really, there's opportunities. Like we talked about in Ladybugs, there's like some of the other coaches would be like fun characters for there to be like a direct conflict with the Rodney Dangerfield coach character, but they don't develop any of them, and the lack of friction makes it the movie's just kind of because Bennett like Beckham is kind of the same thing too, like they're feuding with their families a little bit, but there's not really like a, at least throw in like a Norway coach from Mighty Ducks to just sort of be there looming as like something that everybody can like get together to get against. So I thought that Air Bud 3 World Pup really did that with the dog catchers.
Yeah, and this again, I just didn't like, is that their job? They're just, they catch dogs?
Yeah, well, it was weird that they're dog like, catchers, but they're also, they're trying to steal dogs that have a home, clearly.
Yeah.
So that was confusing.
But they're also trying to sell them to make money, but they're not like exotic dogs. They're just regular dogs.
They're beautiful golden retrievers, though.
Yeah. And like, that didn't make sense because one, like, I feel like, it's very hard to sell a dog. Like people like they're already like trying to get
a super lucrative.
Yeah. It just didn't make sense. I was like
business.
So you're stealing dogs that have a home. They're not exotic dogs.
Flip a couple bags and make more money.
Yeah.
Than you would spending, I guess like a whole soccer season trying to steal one golden retriever, which you would then sell. You'd flip for what?
It's just a very niche 400 market bucks. For this like one city, and they had so many dogs.
I'll give you that, but again, kids movie, and gives the film a clear antagonist for everybody to kind of rally against.
At one point, like you saw how many dogs they had at the end, right?
At the pound?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at one point, that town's gonna know if someone's snatching everyone's dogs.
True.
Because there was at least like 50 of them.
Well, the dog catchers are scoping out a new family moving in and their golden retriever. And it's an English family, mate. We ain't escaped the lads down the pub. They're back, isn't it? The new English neighbor it becomes the love interest for Josh. Her name is Emma. And
which, horrible English accent, by the way.
You think it was fake?
It was fake.
She was subtle with it.
No,
it didn't really bother me, honestly.
I heard it and I was like, she sounds like she's like a Swedish chick doing a English accent. So I was like, maybe she's from Sweden. And I looked it up, she's from like Florida. And I was like, okay, so she's an American doing a fake English accent.
I wondered if it was fake or not, but it didn't annoy me enough to have to Google it. So.
Once you know it's fake and you rewatch, like, I don't think you're going to rewatch interesting. It. Interesting.
We had such totally
so
different
bad.
Experiences watching Air Bud. Again, this is good. We were too alike on the first
again,
movie.
Again, this movie got so bad it turned good for me. So I'm with you that it was good, but that's because it turned into a comedy for
the
me.
Last 3 minutes you go on a wild ride. It goes 0 to 100, which was pretty tight, I thought.
Yeah.
But anyways, Emma and her family are moving in from foggy London town.
Well, the dog also becomes a love interest.
Yes. So the Emma. Daughter, Emma, immediately becomes a love interest for Josh, and their dog, Emma's family's dog, becomes a love interest for Buddy. So Josh and his best friend Tom agree to join the soccer team, despite being basketball players, which I guess we would have known if we had watched the first two movies, because I guess Air Bud played basketball and then...
Yeah, he was a basketball player.
At first. And then what was the second movie? Was he basketball again?
I think
so. This is the third one, so... And then I know Buddy went on to play every sport.
There's a football one. That might have been number two.
Golden Retriever.
Yeah.
We should just watch that just for fun.
Yeah.
You want to hang out with me maybe after this? Rent Golden Retriever?
No.
Air Bud?
No.
Why, dude? Excuse me. What do you have to do after this?
Go home. Not hang out with
it's
you.
It's probably a short movie if you wanted to.
No.
Well, we
this was easier to watch, though. So
it was an easier watch for me. I agree.
You also didn't really have to pay much attention to this one.
Yeah. So Josh and Tom agree to join the team, even though they were basketball players. I think Josh wants to get in with Emma. So Josh goes to practice. He's playing in jeans.
Fucking horrible.
He's soccer. Trash. Yes. The friend who wore the American football pads, haha, to practice. What? He looks like he's going to be pretty good right away. He's got Tekkers.
He does.
So once again, we see the return of Tekkers, but, you know, he does all these stepovers and things, but then, you know, the ball will get nicked off him by Emma, one of the lads. Air Bud is watching this practice, and he seems to decide that he's going to impress Emma's Golden Retriever by scoring past the team's keeper, who begins to taunt Buddy. Buddy says, "Mate, I put one in your eye." And Buddy is somehow able to rocket the ball off of his nose. I was always worried for Buddy. Scared for him.
Yeah.
The physics of that, you know.
That was a rocket. That goal.
Yeah, he rips it with his face somehow and continues to do so throughout the season. So anyways, it's unanimously decided that Buddy will join the team. Josh
And I get you have to suspend disbelief, but the idea of a fucking dog on a soccer team.
It's crazy.
It's not
a dog on a sports team with people.
And then like this was where it like got funny was like at points like other teams are like.
That really bothered you? Like a dog could never play a sport. That
no,
was going through
that
your
wasn't
mind.
What bothered
like,
me. It was
ruining
like,
your experience with Air Bud.
It was
World
like when
Pup.
When teams were like other teams were like, well, there's a dog on the team. And then the actual team was like, whoa, like that's not that weird. Like they're acting like other teams wouldn't be shocked that there's a dog playing soccer.
The team is also co-ed, so
they're the only team that's co-ed.
Yeah, progressive both in that they are co-ed and also that they have a dog.
But don't be shocked when another team doesn't want to play you because you have a dog playing forward.
You're saying it's a clear benefit to have a dog playing for you.
No, I'm just saying don't be shocked if another team is also shocked.
Just when it's Air Bud.
Yeah. And maybe it's because he has a reputation and people shouldn't be surprised that
you wouldn't expect a dog to
athlete.
Do much for the team. He'd probably be a bench warmer at best.
Yeah.
Of course, Buddy.
Well, this team only has 11 players. So.
Has an athletic pedigree. Also, he has to play. Yeah, the team. They mentioned that like five times. We only have 11 players.
Yeah.
Anyways, Josh talks to Emma. We learn that they've moved from England to Fernfield. Great name of the town. After her mother's death. So another trope of children's movies. Everyone has like a dead parent. Josh had like a dead dad, I guess. Anyway, smash cut to game one. The Timberwolves, they're getting murdered by the Sharks, who have sick green kits. Just do it in the mic, man.
No.
I'm proud of my burps. So I know that Tom looked good earlier, the friend, in practice. But he's pretty he has terrible decision making still by the time they get to this game, although he does seem to have the physical gifts, the technical ability.
Well, he just
continues to get the ball taken off him.
He just like the ball doesn't move.
Yeah. Buddy, I was surprised, he's a very good dribbler of the ball. He can really kind of zone move for you. And I just was thinking, I was like, I don't understand how he's gonna have any end product. And he doesn't seem to for a while. So you know, I thought maybe he was just like the Adama Traore of Fernfield and he would just, you know, have a lot of dribbling ability and not much end product. However, he does eventually tee up Emma for the T-Wolves only goal. And then Coach Montoya comes in and makes the team stay after the game for practice. And Coach Montoya rocked.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably got to be against the law.
I don't know, whatever. They're, yeah. they're old enough. I think they're, and we should establish, school. I guess, the kids are like 14, 15 probably. Yeah. But Coach Montoya kind of gives a good description of the game. He talks about passing, give and go. And then I think that he's ultimately working to impart his tiki-taka philosophy onto the T-Wolves in kind of the Cruyff to Guardiola to Coach Montoya lineage, the passing of this style of football.
Yeah.
From Ajax, from Amsterdam to Fernfield.
Did you write all this down?
Some of it. but I was going to say, it does stand out as the only decent description like of the game or training for the game or anything close to a philosophy of the three movies that we've watched.
Yeah.
Except for the kid actor and Ladybugs a little bit.
Yeah, I thought, yeah.
So Coach Montoya and that kid, the only ones with really any tactical or coaching prowess. Emma invites Josh to a party at her house, and Tom, the friend, dresses up like a Buckingham Palace guard with a kilt. It's pretty nice. LOL. There's so much incredible music in this movie. This was an aspect of the movie that was like stood out like a sore thumb as being terrible. They used like this like music that was like worse than royalty free stock music. They like had somebody write it all and record it for like $150. So I am going to pipe in some of the tunes. There was one I think I missed from earlier.
Did you get the soundtrack?
It's all on YouTube. there's an incredible song called Lucky Stars that's playing here. You don't know where you go when you follow your heart. You just know it's where you that the feeling is strong. And lucky stars, they'll be shining bright. Lucky stars, just for me. And lucky stars, they'll be mine tonight. Lucky stars, we'll see. I'll pipe that in, but...
Someone said, and again, because I haven't listened to any of our episodes, that you do weird shit with music. By someone I mean Carly. She's like, at one point music is just playing for like 10 minutes.
That's not true. I'll if we take a break or something, like when I let out Durward last week, I was like, take a break, and then I'll play like 20 seconds of a song.
She said it's like 10 minutes.
Well, she can shut the hell up, unsubscribe, or say it to my face. Carly, you're a coward. You left Nashville and you haven't returned because you're scared of the virus. You're not brave patriots like us.
Yeah.
So we can say, what do you got to say to that, Carly? Weird. Why am I just pipe in 6 minutes of music right here?
I don't listen. Doesn't bother
got
me.
Got me fired up. She has to stay though, because I think she's like probably 10% of our listenership.
Yes, she does listen to them. Though she was mad that you didn't drop the last one before she had to drive back from Pennsylvania.
Didn't I?
I thought you did. She said you didn't, but...
I'm sorry.
Again, I don't...
Dude, next time I'll get
it. I have
no
idea.
Anyways, they're at the party. Dope tunes are playing. Buddy, Mac, pimp, he's up on the second floor, and he's making out with Emma's dog. Josh gets alone with Emma and the pocket knife that was introduced to us earlier. And this was...
I remember the scene now.
Yeah, it has like a whistle on it. And he's like, oh, when he's showing it to Emma. He blows the whistle, no sound comes out. He doesn't know it's a dog whistle. So all of the neighborhood dogs come to Emma's mansion, and he loses his chance to ask Emma out. But, you know, at least something that we saw introduced earlier came back into the plot.
I mean, what use does that have on a pocket knife?
Well, we see the pocket knife again then. So you think it's just like a one-off joke. But the pocket knife, which doubles kind of as a symbol of like the stepdad trying to like be there as kind of a father figure for him, and Josh having to kind of accept that and be able to use a little bit of his, you know, being a role model for him, being a dude. Really not.
You hang the pictures.
Yeah. Oh, was it not hung last time? Mm-hmm. Looks good, doesn't it?
Still need to up those.
Yes. So I think once I up that, I'll have a good balance in here. And then pendant lights soon. I'm going to order them this weekend probably.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, I'm tired of not having light in here, really, except for that lamp.
Yeah, it's a little depressing.
It's just chill. It's just sleepy. Just can't get too amped up. I have been moving that table and doing some yoga. It's been feeling great.
Still won't do yoga with me.
I haven't done it with anyone ever. It's not just you. I've never done it with anyone.
What do you watch on?
How many people have you done it with?
YouTube.
How many people have you done it with?
I just did it at work this week. So it was a Zoom call for like a bunch of people.
At work? Like,
yeah, we used to do them. Like,
how many people from work did you do it with?
I don't know. I can't see how many's on the Zoom call.
And you've done it with Carly, obviously. Had you ever done it with anyone before Carly?
No.
Okay.
We used to have it at work. Like every Tuesday they would have yoga at work.
You and who would have it?
Like our work would put on a yoga class.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You didn't understand this whole time I was fucking with you. But
well, I got it when you said first time with Carly.
I didn't know that.
I don't know the whole time what it was.
Okay. I was like, how many people have you done it with?
Oh yeah. Okay.
I've never done it with anyone.
Well, now I don't feel like talking about it.
So I don't want to do it with you.
Just do it with me.
I'll do it with someone. I don't want you to be the first that I do it with. Because we're too good of friends, you know?
You don't want to ruin
it. I value our friendship. I don't want to ruin jeopardize.
That. Okay.
I thought it was funny. Anyways, the fucking dog catcher is snooping around the party. 14, 15, 16-year-olds. Pervert. Abolish dog catchers. How do you feel about that?
Let's do it.
Abolish dog catching. Emma's dad interviews an insane man for his housekeeper job, and then they kick him out of the mansion. And then the damn dog catcher comes in, disguised, and he wants to work for the English family as like a butler.
Again.
So I guess this is his way that he's going to catch the dog? It's like the Rube Goldberg machine of like him. He could just go in, not even with a gun. He could just walk in with like a knife or something and be like, I'm taking this dog and leave. But he has to go through all this, you know, he has to become the butler of the family, which is actually kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, it pays off at the end.
This is a reason Rube Goldberg machines are funny, you know? Yeah. So this is kind of the same thing. I don't know. That was my interpretation of it. You're probably like, why would you do that?
I feel like you just want to include the Goldberg machine into the podcast.
Why is that? Did I use that reference previously?
No, it just seemed like something like how, like you would be like, how can I fit this in?
So smart, dude. I got the dopest references.
How can I fit this into my podcast?
Sick reference though, bro.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Dude, your references are out of control. Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows I got the dopest.
Did you read
references.
My DM that I sent you?
What DM?
The one that I just sent you like a couple hours ago.
Is it you sliding in my DMs trying to do it with me? Yoga?
No. Cut this out.
So all dog catchers are bastards. Dog catchers are pigs. Abolish dog catching.
ADAB.
All dog catchers are ADCAM.
ADCAM.
That's catchy. Anyways, cut to the next Timberwolves game. They're playing some really nice stuff. Coach Montoya's philosophy fully imparted onto the team. Tom has made the leap from raw talent to he's a team player now. The step overs, the flicks, the tricks are going somewhere.
Yeah, that went quick too. He was like bully and then like.
I always saw that he had the gifts. Coach Montoya just molded him into a player for the team. Buddy even gets free at the back post to score a corner, despite being a foot and a half tall.
I mean, that's not the first time.
That's a pretty bad breakdown from the other team, though.
He was picking corners all movie.
Did he bang in a couple from the back post on some headers?
Yeah, I mean the game.
Nice. I was the only one I caught.
The game-winning goal was he picked a corner.
Well, Buddy's the fucking man, Buddy. After this
or
game,
the
coach of the Spartans that they're playing, he's mad because they lost to the Timberwolves, who are, I mean, he should be mad because they are both co-ed in an all-boys league otherwise, and they're led by a dog.
Yeah.
So you can see why I'd be upset. But he storms off. He's like, I'm going to do something about this because I'm a coach, but I'm also, coincidentally, like the chairman of the board of athletics for the
also,
field, which is
completely
definitely a conflict of interest.
To be upset that a team has a dog on their team.
You think he's right to be mad?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, why is the other team acting like someone surprised that they're upset?
Dude,
that
you're a fan of that Spartans coach over Coach Montoya?
I'm not a fan.
Coach Montoya is the man.
I have a hard time being like, a dog should be allowed to play on a soccer team.
You need to expand your mind to the possibilities, dude.
Maybe. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills watching this. Like, I'm the only normal one that's like, this is nuts.
Because it's good and you're stupid. You're right. Buddy, he makes his bae, Molly's dog, an ice cream sundae. It's pretty dope. At the same time, so he's a pimp. He's a Mac. He's making advances with the girl dog. Josh fumbles through a date with Emma. He's dressed like Neo from The Matrix, including little small oval sunglasses at night.
Yeah,
it's just pretty funny. He's calling her babe. He's struggling, but Buddy is literally Netflix and chilling with the girl dog, and looks like he's about to smash.
He does.
Well, spoilers, but we learn later that yes, confirmed indeed, Buddy did smash. Congrats to Buddy. Josh's stepdad, Dad's Rock, again a continuing theme of Paradise Pod goes to the movies. The stepdad comes in and consoles him. He's pretty cool. Buddy starts going crazy in the house one night, and then guess what? Donald already spoiled it, but it turns out his bae is across the street giving birth to some pups.
How quickly did female dogs give birth?
I think some time has passed, but that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. How long are animals pregnant for? It's like a high thought, but well, how much does it vary? What's the longest pregnancy?
I don't know, but even if like, are you gonna look it up?
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's like 5 months, that's the season's not that long.
Holy shit. Elephants, the average gestation period of an elephant is about 640 to 660 days, or roughly 95 weeks.
Jesus.
So almost 2 years.
For elephants?
Yes.
Why'd you look up elephants and not a dog?
I looked up what animal has the longest pregnancy.
Sorry, I got excited about that. I was thinking about dogs. How long are dogs pregnant for? That's probably the stupidest way to ask that question.
I feel like 58 to 68 days. How is that hard to find? Yeah, that is actually really short.
Yeah.
Maybe it holds up then.
Yeah, I guess so. So happy Father's Day to Air Bud, also to Future, and only those two. The Timberwolves get knocked out of the league by the dickhead coach of the Spartans, who Donald thinks is a good person.
I don't think he's a good person. I just
fascist chairman of the Board of Athletics in Fernfield. Donald's supporting fascism. The rise of fascism in Fernfield. Are you burping or farting?
Burping.
Okay. You don't have to. It's okay, man. You can just do it into the mic. Okay. I would rather you burp into the mic every 30 seconds than fiddle with it the way that you have been. The T-Wolves are kicked out of the league. The son of the dickhead coach, who I guess probably featured in the first two movies.
Also, again, he like grabs Emma and was like, kick the ball in the net. And then it's like 1-0 and then walks out. Like,
that was cool.
Like that was that doesn't even count.
He got his ass, dude. He got his ass.
Didn't even blow the whistle.
The Spartans coach didn't even know how to respond to that. He didn't say a word. Coach Montoya just said
she was still out of bounds, I'm pretty sure, when she kicked it. And there's no ref.
He's making a point. It wasn't saying that it was a regulated. He was just like, you know, we would have been here. We would have played you. So the
way
I see
it,
T-Wolves 1, Spartans 0.
Okay.
So, again, deviating, I saw it as kind of a nice moment in the movie. Anyways, there's a montage. Buddy is leading. Hold on. I'm skipping ahead. Oh, so yeah. The son of this dickhead coach / league chairman, I guess. He is pissed at his dad. He's like, Dad, that's not right. And the dad immediately goes, oh, okay. And he reverses the decision. And this is like a 10-second period in the movie where the Timberwolves get kicked out of the league. And it's like, Dad, come on. He's like, oh, done.
The next scene, he reads a newspaper and is like, you didn't think we could beat them.
Yeah.
And then he's like, we didn't give it our all last time. And then this dad's like, okay.
Yeah, my takeaway was that this the dad was like, oh, shit, you're right. So maybe the Spartans coach is redeemable. Maybe you're onto something and thinking that he's a good character.
Fascism wins.
Anyways, trouble ensues. Yeah, I called you a fascist, sorry. But I don't take it back. Trouble ensues when Buddy and Molly's 6 newborn puppies are kidnapped by the evil dog catcher. Yeah.
Again,
who's been deep undercover as the butler.
Again, this scene. So they cut to, I'm assuming what's the maid. She's sleeping in this rocking chair. And the guy just peeks up behind her. Like, why did he have to be behind her? And then he like gets the key, I guess, to the gate or whatever. And just like waddles out, like walks. And I'm just, again, I'm thinking from like a direct, like, hey, can you waddle while you walk? Like, just very, like, he's like sneaking around, but there's no one else in the fucking house. There's no need for it. And it's just very stupid.
Okay. It's just silly, man. You just don't have the childlike sense of humor that I do. The childlike optimism about the world that I have.
I guess not. And then they go, well, they go down to get the dogs, and then the
well,
dogs,
Buddy, being the great father that he is, he can sense this.
Yeah.
That is this pups.
Also wild. Didn't know that taken. Was possible with dogs.
What's that?
To be able to sense something from like.
Not all dogs. His Buddy is special. That's true. We know this.
He can play basketball and soccer.
Correct. So the gang are searching for the pups. And wouldn't you know it, it's the same time as the Dagum Championship game?
Again.
Yeah, again. So
people show up late to the game.
Everybody has so many conflicts at the same time as the championship game.
Well, when they steal it, he goes down there and he's like, the dog's barking. And it's a golden retriever. Like, it's not like it's a pit bull.
Yeah, he's terrified.
He's like, terrified he of it. Move. And I'm like, and then he just like nonchalantly puts him in the cage.
All right. Well, here's something I wanted to say. The pocket knife again makes a return. So they make it into the dog catcher's lair and they get like caught. I think they're trying to escape. And Josh pulls out the pocket knife and blows the dog whistle. And all the neighborhood dogs, just like they did in Crash and Emma's party, they come into the dog catcher's lair and they sort of they help to save the day. So, a Chekhov's gun for once, we were talking about with the other two movies, they would introduce characters and like potential different ways that the story could go, a potential antagonist, and nothing ever develops of it. But sure enough, they introduce this pocket knife at the beginning, and by the end of the movie, it sort of is used as a tool to save the day in the climax of the movie, and they blow the dog whistle and the dogs come save them. So good movie making, in my opinion.
So I was like half paying attention. So that those dogs were from the neighborhood. They weren't the ones that I thought those were all the ones that the dog catchers have stolen.
No, maybe. I don't know. A bunch of dogs run in. And
yeah, this is where I was like, no one's noticed that these dogs are missing. There's like 50 of them.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't get. I don't know. That might have been explained in the two previous movies.
I don't know.
We could, if you wanted to hang out after this, we could go and we could watch the first two.
So they,
did you say you're not doing anything after this, right?
Yeah. So they,
what are you doing?
They get the dogs back. And then turns out the butler, the villain the whole time, is like, I just wanted a puppy.
Yes.
And so they're just like.
Which was nice.
So they're just like, oh, here, have one of these puppies for free and then help us out.
So the one dude was just trying to steal the puppies to get rich, which I guess he's going to make like $1,000 or something. but the other dog catcher that's undercover, he's like, honestly, my whole life, I just wanted a puppy.
Yeah.
And this was my convoluted way of getting a puppy. And then I thought this was a beautiful moment from the kids, from Josh and the gang. They they're just like, they just hand him over a puppy. This guy that like stole their dogs, they're just like, why don't you take this one? Yeah. He's like, this one looks great, I love it. And then they walk off with him, and that totally solved it. But that was kind of nice too. They resolved the conflict by helping the who we thought was the villain to reconcile with the pain from his past. His parents wouldn't let him have a puppy. And that was a nice resolution. That was they tied that one up nicely.
And then he offers to drive him to the game.
Yep.
And the whole way there, and then like mufflers start falling off the car, a bumper fall. Like no,
I didn't understand
any sense. like it was. I'm assuming it was just for like comedic something.
You're not
but
seeing
was,
the forest for the trees, Donald.
Yeah.
You're getting too distracted by.
So why is the muffler falling off? He's just driving down the
road.
This
was the best movie of the three.
Yeah. I like Ladybugs more.
You like Ladybugs more? Yeah. Ladybugs, yeah. Bennett like Beckham was definitely the worst.
Yeah.
And it's definitely remembered as,
again,
as the best.
But we've
one
talked, it wasn't for us.
By other people. It was not for us, true.
So, Air Bud was probably made for us because I was 10.
Yeah, I don't remember watching this as a kid.
I don't either.
I think I had a vague memory of Ladybugs. I knew what Air Bud was. I'm sure I watched the basketball one probably.
Yeah.
But I don't remember specifically watching this.
Yeah. Okay, so again, the movie trope of showing up late. This time, they did it.
Do you remember the time Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime and the Mud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl?
They went extreme, though. They showed up
every time.
3 minutes.
That's been all three movies, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That's so good.
And this, they're only down a goal.
How easy is it to be a Hollywood like screenwriter?
Fucking apparently.
So fucking easy.
Just have them show up late to the game.
just fucking like. Cookie cutter.
But again, there's only 11 people on the team, which means they've been playing with 7 people this whole game.
And they kept it close.
They get their 3 minutes left in the game, down 1, and that's it. And then
this is where I stopped taking notes, so take it away.
Oh, that was all I got. They immediately score a goal.
They get in. They won the game somehow.
Yeah, they immediately score a goal, and then with like classic 10-second shot, like you can see the ref's watch, it's like 10 seconds left.
Yeah, it's funny, the ref counts down on a stopwatch to zero and then immediately blows the whistle, which was like, no one that watched that movie about soccer in America in 2000 was like, that's not how this game works.
Yeah, but no extra time at all. Yeah. But yeah, so they get immediately score a goal, and then yeah, you see the refs, 10 seconds left, and then you see Emma yell to Josh like, pass it to Buddy, pass it to Buddy, and he like launches it. And then Buddy just picks a corner and fucking nails it.
Does Buddy hit the game winner?
Yeah.
Pimp, dude. And he just saved his kids and his bae.
Yeah.
Buddy's the man.
Picks a corner, wins the game.
Lethal finisher.
Yeah.
Damn. So you think the movie's over at this point.
And this is where I'm just like dying laughing.
Yeah. Holy shit. And it could have ended there, but I'm glad it didn't, because after this, there was a U.S. Women's National Team member who I had never heard of. She was like a keeper, I guess, probably from the 90s. She is watching. She gets introduced before the game, and then after the game comes up to the team, and is a typically bad like athlete making a cameo acting in a movie. She's like, hey, you guys were pretty good. You should come practice with us sometime. I don't know what she says, but... No. Like, all right. And then it goes, flash forward is 3 years later or something like that. It's like,
yeah,
4 years later.
And then I guess this was like prime, like women's national team, like Mia Hamm.
Sure. And I did obviously recognize Brandi Chastain.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two other players, but not all of them. But smash cut, 3 years later, the U.S. women's national team, they're in a World Cup final against Norway.
They're at PKs.
They're in a penalty shootout. And off the sidelines...
Well, no, don't go there first.
Okay,
so they go back and forth for a little bit.
Yeah.
So
in a dramatic penalty shootout. Yeah.
So U.S. saves one, and then U.S. scores one, and then the U.S. saves it again, but the goalkeeper gets injured.
Oh yeah, thank you.
She hurts her shoulder.
Yep.
And guess who's there to save
the day? What happens, dude?
Guess who's there to save the day?
Fucking Buddy comes off the
Buddy,
bench.
the male dog. Playing for the women's
national team. Male dog that is playing. Although I guess Buddy was playing on a co-ed soccer team, so why couldn't he play for a men's or a women's team? I don't know.
The male dog comes in to play keeper, who the whole movie he's a forward, and apparently he's a world star keeper as well.
Dude, any like forward that's like over 6'2" could have been a keeper too. That's easy.
True. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
But he comes in and Norway takes a shot. Buddy saves it.
Buddy's a brick wall.
Yeah. And they win the World Cup.
And Buddy helps the U.S. women's human being national team win the World Cup. And then, you know, the shot where they're like, yeah, it freezes in the air, and then it's over.
Then it's over.
I thought this was the best movie that we had watched for the film series thus far, for the reasons that I mentioned. Did I sway you at all, or do you still feel like this movie sucked?
No, again, it got so bad, it turned good for me. So I still think it's good. As a comedy, it was really good.
So what would you rate it?
I'm going to give it 3 barks.
Couldn't think of anything better than that. No. I can't think of anything better than that either. I'll give it four...
tail wags?
I'll give it 4 good boys out of 5.
Okay.
It was good. It was a good children's movie. If I had to watch it with my kids, I wouldn't be too pissed.
Yeah.
My secret family.
I'm sure I loved it when I was 10.
Yeah. 2000. So you were probably like, you're probably in high school, I guess. You're 16. You're going into your senior year.
Yeah.
In 2000.
I was in college my first year.
You're 30. You just turned 37.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there it is. Air Bud, World Pub, done and dusted. What are we watching next?
We got
to get through a few more weeks.
What was the recommendation? The green...
Seth's recommended the green blob, the green machine, the green, big green.
The green man?
I don't have my phone.
Okay.
Anyway, who cares?
Something like that. So there's that. We still haven't got any recommendations from any of our fans.
So I haven't really solicited any on Twitter, so
you guys are dropping, I'll throw it out there.
But yeah, I'm growing stronger and stronger in my analysis of film in each one of these. So I am enjoying that.
Yeah.
I feel like I could probably teach a class.
We can
after I do a few more of these.
I mean, if we can do a serious movie if you're getting tired of these children movies.
I don't really care.
This was a fun one to review.
This was a good one, yeah.
Yeah. I think we both just didn't like Beckham.
Yeah, true. That movie's trash. Air Bud rocks. Didn't like Beckham socks. Dird wants to go OUT, so we could probably wrap this one up, eh?
Yeah. I'm good.
Cool. Well, we'll have more things to talk about soon. You're going out of town.
No, so I thought I was. It's next weekend.
Oh, shit. Well, so you're free this weekend. You want to, like, come over and watch, like, the first two Air Buds, like we were talking about earlier? Because you said you weren't free tonight, but...
Why don't you come over and watch some this weekend? Bundesliga? I think going to Sesto.
Yeah. He was texting me earlier being like, are you coming over tomorrow? I was like, I thought it was Saturday. He just said, yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'll come over Saturday.
Yeah, he was like, okay.
So I was cutting him a break. I don't think he realized today's Thursday.
Yeah.
He probably didn't work today. God, imagine how little Seth is working now. How much he was working, which was not a lot, when he actually...
I'm like, get a good 2-3 hours of like working, and then I'm taking naps.
Jesus Christ. Well, good on you for that.
But then, yeah. My manager's like, do we have any weekly wins? And he's like, man, you guys were very productive today. And I've taken, this week, and I've taken, a nap every day at work. Do we get any good? Bayern Munich and Gladbach.
Did Munich, how many games are left in the Bundesliga season?
I don't know, 5 maybe.
Okay.
But that's probably a pretty good game to watch.
That might be okay. I was frustrated watching Borussia Mönchengladbach the one or two times I watched them earlier. They seem to try to get the ball to that Thuram on the left, who's supposed to be really good, but he seems like sort of all they got. I don't know. They haven't really been very fun to watch.
Dortmund and Dusseldorf.
I've liked watching Bayer Leverkusen just because Kai Havertz is nuts. He's really good.
Speaking of,
they're fun. Which, they have that Moussa Diaby.
Speaking of which.
Is he linked with Chelsea?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No,
where are they getting all this money from?
Kai Havertz,
yeah.
I told you that.
Damn.
They offered like $70 million.
He's worth more than that, I think.
He's like 19 years old?
Yeah, he captains them, too.
This is where I said, I don't know.
He's 6'2".
I don't know what they're going to do.
He's got like striker, like speed, athleticism, but he like drops into midfield and does that, too. He's the real deal.
Like, what are you going to do when you have...
He's going to be a star.
I mean, I realize like... You obviously try to get the best players available, but what are you going to do when you have like...
And where's financial fair play?
I don't know.
Can Chelsea just spend $250 million?
I mean, they're getting a lot of money back. Like their net. Like they just sold a guy that I have no idea who it was for like $15 million.
But why? Yeah.
He's some academy player.
I guess when you look at the top of the Premier League, like... Spurs have had to build the stadium, and they were notoriously like sort of frugal before that. Yeah. Daniel Levy's known for this. Man U has famously spent like crazy, and a lot of it hasn't worked out at all, or has had sort of middling results. They paid so much for Martial before he was even what he is now, which is a good player, but at like 18, they paid like $70 million or something.
Did they pay a lot for who's the guy that sucks for Man U?
Alexis Sanchez?
No, well, him. The other one.
They've had a lot of bad signings. Lukaku didn't work out for them.
Who's the guy? He plays on the English national team.
Apparently, Lukaku just had like a food allergy or something, or they changed his diet, and now he's really good in Milan.
I mean, he was, yeah.
They did just buy Bruno Fernandes, which seems like a good signing. But they definitely had some duds. Players. Paul Pogba, you could say, has not been as successful as he should have been.
Jones has been good. They just spent a lot on Harry Maguire, didn't they?
They spent a lot on Harry Maguire. He's a good player, though.
Lingard.
He's youth academy.
Is he? Yeah. Okay. They didn't spend a lot on him, but he's been, like, horrible, which is weird, because every time I watch him, like, for the national team, he's really good.
We know Man City spends.
Yeah.
Man City spends. Man U spends. Chelsea spends. Arsenal spend.
Yeah.
Lacazette wasn't cheap. Aubameyang, I don't know what they paid for him, but probably wasn't too cheap.
No, I know they were, them and Chelsea were trying to.
So I guess it's not like Chelsea are sticking out more above those teams.
No, but we haven't spent a lot, though, recently.
Pulisic was a very expensive signing.
We're in a transfer freeze. We can't. What are you talking about? We didn't.
And yet.
He did not count towards that winter transfer. So we went two transfer windows without signing anyone.
Tottenham plays, man. You first game back. The first game of anyone back. They're on Friday before the weekend games kick off. So I haven't had a long enough break from watching Tottenham.
I feel like there's a weekday game.
It's Tottenham Friday.
Nope.
Tottenham Man U Friday, I believe.
I think there's a Wednesday game beforehand.
Shut up.
I think it's like Man City.
Well, we're never going to know because I'm going to quit recording. So I'm going to let the dog out.
I still want to talk about this, though.
We'll see you guys later. I will take your hand. I will never let it go. And if time will stand still as our feelings grow, and it turns me.